Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Vayechi, we have six Divrei Torah. Vayechi is focused on the passing away of Yaakov Avinu, the preparations in advance of his passing, and the various brachas that he gives to his children upon his deathbed. And we're going to start out almost at the way beginning of the Parsha that starts as follows. It's Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Chavtes. Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, he requests that Yosef give him an oath. Swear to me, Yosef, as follows, Vasisa imadi chesed v'emes, you should do to me a chesed and an emes. We'll have to explain what that means. Al natik b'reinu b'mitzrayim, make sure that I am not buried in Mitzrayim. I want to be buried in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah with Avram, with Yitzhak, etc. So Rashi, on these words, chesed v'emes, that Yaakov Avinu is requesting of Yosef, chesed she'osim im amesim hu chesed shel emes. The chesed that we do to somebody who has passed away is a chesed of emes. Why? If we do something for somebody who is alive, they oftentimes know about it, they can reciprocate, even if our motives are pure, but it's not viewed as the most altruistic of giving. Absolutely altruistic, but the best giving of chesed shel emes is if you do that chesed to somebody who has passed away, there's no way that he's going to reciprocate and give that back. That is a chesed shel emes. Now, the Ohel Yaakov explains something very interesting. He says, when you do something beneficial for somebody, you do somebody a favor when they're alive. Truth be told is we never know if that's something they desire, if that it's really beneficial. And even if they desire it and it's beneficial, but there could be negative consequences to it. So during life, it's tough to find examples that you give a chesed shel emes that's pure, that's only going to be for the benefit of the recipient with no negative consequences. For example, you give somebody advice, you think you're helping them, they don't want the advice. Or you're having a younger chavrusa. This actually happened to me when I was in the University of Pennsylvania, and a rav of mine from Los Angeles set me up to learn with a boy who was not very affiliated with Judaism, not affiliated at all. And the rav that I knew, he knew this person's father, so I started learning with him. And we learned a couple times a week, I believe. I don't remember exactly. And it went on for a year or two. And I remember we didn't stay in touch afterward, and I went to visit the university a few years later, and I met the person in charge of the Hillel. He was not an observant man, and he said, oh, I remember you used to learn with X, Y, and Z. You should know you inspired him so much that he became a rabbi. He became a reform rabbi. And I had fairly mixed feelings about that. Was that really a great chesed that I did, that he went on to become a reform rabbi? It's nice to inspire people, but that maybe was not the best of consequences that he became a reform rabbi. So we'll leave that as an open question, be that as it may. But the Ohel Yaakov is telling us that in life, you never know. Obviously, we have to keep on doing chasadim to everyone and give it our best, but that's not going to be a chesed shel emes. The real chesed shel emes is when you do that chesed to somebody who passed away, they definitively need it, there are no negative consequences to it, that is a chesed shel emes. Torah number two is very short, is actually building on this, an interesting point, this word emes, chesed shel emes, that we're saying that is when we do chesed to somebody who has passed away. The Medrash Talpiot says that emes stands as follows. It's spelled Aleph Mem Tuf, Emes Aron. That is a coffin that we buried somebody in. That is the Aleph of the Emes. Mem is Mita. That's the bier. That's the bed that we carry the body out on. And the Tachrichim are the shrouds. Chesed shel Emes. Emes is one of the ways that we help the mace. Somebody who passed away is through an Aron, through a Mita, and through Tachrichim. Again, through the Aron, through the coffin, the Mita, the bier, and the Tachrichim, the shrouds. That is a Chesed shel Emes. When we do that, and all the other needs of burying somebody who has passed away. We are now moving forward to number three. Famous pasuk b'chayiv rach Yisrael imo yisim chalakim k'rachayim and asher. We are in Perek Mem Ches, pasuk Chaf, and the bracha which Yaakov Avinu gives to his two grandchildren. We're not talking about bracha to his children, any of his children, but to two of the grandchildren, Ephraim and Menashe. These are the two sons of Yosef. And the question is, Yaakov now is saying, when Klal Yisrael will give a bracha, when somebody is going to give a bracha to his son, for example, this is the bracha that they're going to give, that you, my dear son, should be like Ephraim and Menashe. And many ask the following question: if we are going to choose people to give the bracha to, the bracha that should be the ultimate example of what we want a Jew to be, why are we choosing Ephraim and Menashe? We could choose luminaries like Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, we have Moshe, Aaron, etc. Why Ephraim and Menashe? So the Igra de Kala brings the explanation as follows. A fundamental in the Torah, in our midos, is to not be a Baal Gaiva, or to not even have Gaiva, to not look down at other people. We shouldn't say, I'm better than that person. I have a benefit over that person. I've received something and ha-ha, he didn't receive it. And even not in such a negative way. It's just not, we shouldn't be mitga'eh over other people. We shouldn't be looking down, thinking ourselves superior to others. And in addition, number two is kind of the flip side. We should not be jealous of other people. And that is when we, not looking down to people, but we look up. We look at somebody and say, I wish I had that. Oh, that's something that I really am desirous of. So we shouldn't be looking down. We also, in certain ways, should not be looking up in a negative way by having jealousy. So what do we have here? We have the situation that Yosef brought his two sons, Ephraim and Menashe, to get brachas from Yaakov, their grandfather. And as is known, the right hand of Yaakov should have gone on the older brother, on Menashe, and the left hand should have gone on the younger brother, Ephraim. And Yaakov switched them, and he put the right hand on Ephraim the younger, and the left hand on Menashe the older of the brothers. And what was the reaction of the two brothers? Nothing. There was not a complaint by Menashe the older brother saying, put your right hand on me. He did not evidence jealousy that the younger brother was having the right hand as opposed to him. And on the other hand, Ephraim, the younger brother, who should have gotten the left hand but has the right hand, he did not evidence any gaiva, looking down at his brother, saying, I'm superior to you, even though I'm younger, I got the benefit, I was looked at more fondly by Zaidi. Neither of them had those emotions, neither of them acted in those negative ways toward their siblings. And accordingly, what Yaakov Avinu is saying is this midah, or these two midahs, these character traits of not looking down upon others, but not being jealous of others, that we're learning from both Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim not looking down at others, Menashe not being jealous of his brother. This is the ultimate example of how we want people to behave. This is the ultimate example of how we want our children to behave, to be confident in themselves, absolutely, but not to the extent of looking down upon others that they have a superiority complex. And also that they shouldn't have an inferiority complex of looking up to others saying, I'm jealous. And accordingly, this is why Yaakov chose Ephraim and Menashe with these character traits. Even though, Vayasem es Ephraim lifnei Menashe, even though he put Ephraim, he preferred Ephraim, he put the right hand on Ephraim's hands instead of Menashe, but it did not have the negative consequences of bringing negative character traits out. Mashenken, in contrast to the other brothers, we know there was a lot of kina, there was hatred, jealousy between the brothers. V'yakanu bo achav, that's when Yosef was having his dreams, and it brought forth safety and jealousy. Those are emotions we want to avoid, and we want to obviously emulate the emotions that and the positive feelings that Ephraim and Menashe had, one to the other, not bringing forth any negative emotions. We are now moving forward to Vort number 4. We are in Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Chaf Beis. This is talking about Yosef was given an additional portion by his father, Yaakov, and it's called a Shechem Echad. So Rashi brings a couple of explanations. What is this actual additional benefit that Yosef is being given by Yaakov? So the first one is it's literal. Literal that I am giving you the city of Shechem. The Pasuk says, Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Chav Beis, Asher Lakachti Miyad HaEmori B'Charbi V'Kashti, this city of Shechem. Then I went down and I fought. I fought a war. I was part of the military, says Yaakov Avinu. It was related to the event of Ephraim and Shimon and Levi when they attacked the city. So Yaakov says, in order to protect the family, I had to get involved also militarily. And we were victorious, Baruch Hashem, and we came over and overcame the city of Shechem. And now I'm giving that to Yosef. Harbi Bekashti, this is, I had to fight with my cherub, with my sword, and my keshet, my bow and arrows, in order to overcome the city. Now, interestingly, Targum brings that it's talking about, what is cherub and keshet? This is the second explanation. We said there are two explanations brought in Rashi. The first one is literal. Literal, that the city, that Yaakov had to fight for the city, and he fought with his sword and bow. But the second explanation goes like this, and it's going to explain the Targum. The second explanation is it's a double portion. We have Yaakov Avinu, who received a double portion of his birthright. He became the firstborn. The firstborn gets more as more of a birthright. And we have here Yaakov Avinu telling Yosef that I am giving you a double portion. In other words, you, Ephraim Umenasha, you're going to share more because they are going to be elevated to be my children as opposed to grandchildren. So what does that mean? He got the birthright, and he had to fight for it with his cherev and his keshet. He had to fight for it, this double portion of his birthright, to fight against Esav with his sword and his bow and arrow. So Targum here says, Bitsulisi uve usi, that I went out and I fought with my wisdom and my prayer. So it's not literal fighting here, but I used my wisdom, I used my chachma, I used my davening. And here we have keshet. We have a keshet is literally an arrow, a bow. And here it's being called a prayer. Instead of using the literal bow to fight, we have it on the second explanation that we're talking about, a double portion of the birthright that's being given to Yosef. We have it as a prayer. I use my prayer to acquire, to become the firstborn. So why do we have this parallel? This is our question now. This is Dvar Torah number 4. The question is as follows. Why do we have a parallel between a keshet, which is a bow, and prayer? That Yaakov Avinu used his prayer to acquire that double portion, to acquire that firstborn birthright. So it goes as follows. The Rebbe Mikotsk says that when you have a keshet, when you have a bow, in order to be very effective, you have to pull it back with strength. You have to make it tight. You have to make sure it's taut. Put in a lot of effort. Pulling back that elastic, that string of the bow, in order for that arrow to shoot really far. So you need to put in a lot of effort. It needs to be very strong in order for it to be the most effective shot of that arrow. And he says the same thing, says the Rebbe Mikotsk, applies to davening. The more effort we put in, the more strength we put in, and the more kavanah we put into davening, the further it will go up to heaven. And that's why we have this beautiful parallel between the bow and our davening. Just like you have to put in a lot of bow, a lot of effort, in order to shoot that arrow real far, the stronger you pull it, the further it will go. The more kavanah with your davening you put in, the more effort you put into your davening, that means that that davening will go further and be more effective. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Aleph. And we have Yaakov Avinu gathering together all of the children now. Everyone's being gathered together. And he says as follows in the introduction, before he gives the brachas, Heyasvu, v'agida lachem, come together, Heyasvu asifa, gather, assemble, and I will tell you, es asher yikre eschem, I will tell you what will happen to you b'acharis hayamim, at the end of days. A very nice Dvar Torah here, based on the first two words, the Lukute Ramal says, what is this Heyasvu v'agida? The best etzah I can give you, says Yaakov Avinu, in order to avoid sorrow, in order to avoid punishment and pain, difficulties, trials, and tribulations, Hayasvu, come together. This is an asifa, assemble. You brothers, Klal Yisrael, assemble together. V'agida literally means, I will tell you, it is based on the word eged. Eged is unite, come together, like the bus company, La'avdil, eged. Hatzal is actually called Igud Hatzalah, coming together, Eged, the unity of Hatzalah. And this is the Eitzah that Yaakov Avinu has for his children in order b'acharis hayamim to be able to be successful of any problems that Klal Yisrael will have. What you have to do, two steps, Heyasvu, come together, assemble, v'agida, and form one. Be one, be united together. If Klal Yisrael is united, we will be able to avoid all problems in the future. And number 6, Dvar Torah number 6, We are now in Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Tes Vav. This is Yisachar's bracha, the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives to Yisachar, a famous bracha. Vayar minucha ki tov, ves haaretz ki na'ema. Yisachar will see the tranquility. Minucha ki tov, tranquility is a beneficial, is a good thing. And he will see the pleasantness of the land. And then, vayet shichmo lispol, he will bend over his shoulder to bear the burden. So it's, what's going on here? It's saying you have tranquility. And how are you going to have tranquility by bearing a burden? Isn't it the opposite? How do we have tranquility? Should be sitting on a beach. What does that mean, that you should have tranquility? How is he going to achieve tranquility? Because he's going to bear his burden. So there are different explanations as to explaining this here. But one is as follows. The Marmi Mevarka says, Bayar minucha kitov. What is true minucha? What is true tranquility that somebody can have? If he can, vayet shichmo lisbol. If he could bend his shoulder and bear the burden, which means if he can be somebody who is patient, he can be calm, he can roll with the punches, that is somebody who will achieve true tranquility. So if somebody is a savlan, vayet shichmo lisbol, savlan, patient, he can be sova, he can deal with problems. It doesn't mean that things don't affect him, but he will deal with it in a more calm, patient manner, deal with the issues, but also roll with the punches. That is somebody who will have true tranquility. So once again, vayar minucha ki tov, how can it be that we have tranquility? It means bearing a burden. Absolutely. Burdens come. Challenges come in life. And if we can be the type of person that can roll with the punches, deal with the issues, but not get too frazzled, not get too affected by them, then that is somebody, and we will be successful. Vayar minucha ki tov, we will achieve true tranquility in our lives. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful day.